The first reading for this Reformation Sunday comes from Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all who have sinned fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This week is Reformation Day. And I begin with this. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean. You didn't go to my school. How did you know that? Yeah, many, many, many of us memorized that in grade school. And until yesterday, I thought that was the whole thing. And then it dawned on me yesterday, I said, you know, I bet there's more to that. That's an awfully short poem. And so, sure enough, that which is almost omniscient, Google, told me that there were actually 14 couplets to that poem. Raise your hand if you knew that. Oh, Max, stop it. You know, well, I read through them, and the first one's the best, and so that's good. Now, that dawned on me because I was going back yesterday, and I was checking my facts about Reformation, and I saw that when Columbus was discovering America, which of course today they're saying, well, we're not so sure whether he really did, because we think maybe the Greeks did, we think maybe the Vikings did, we think maybe the Scottish did. There's even those who claim that the Phoenicians did, only they maybe went to South America. So we're not so well, of course there were the Native Americans who discovered it, right? But Columbus gets the credit, and since the time he discovered America, it's taken a while, but boy, has the world changed because of that critical discovery. And at that time, there was a little boy in Germany who was about 10 years old. His name was Marty, or Martin, as in Martin Luther. And 25 years later, he did something that I would put forward as even more world-changing than what Columbus did. And it began when he would have been about 35, I guess, when he nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Now, it sounds like a great protestation. I'm going to talk about these 95 theses! But perhaps you know that the church door in Wittenberg was simply the town bulletin board. It wasn't a grand protest he was making. In fact, if you read through his 95 theses, most of them are really not accusational. A couple of them are kind of put forth strongly, but most of them are really questions for people to consider. But he didn't intend for everyone to be involved with this. Goodness, he wrote it in Latin. The common people of the day, most of them couldn't even read German, much less Latin. I took 2 years of Latin in high school. What a waste of... No. Why I was told to study a dead language. The only one who really cares about Latin, you know who? Plants. Because every plant has a Latin name. That's about it, you know? But anyway, back then, Latin was the scholarly language, and the only people who understood it, could read it and write it, were lawyers, doctors, and theologians. They're the only ones who knew Latin. Luther wrote the 95 Theses because he intended the theologians, not around the world, but just in Wittenberg, to talk about these 95 points. You see, Luther was an Augustinian monk. And in the course of time, he started reading Scripture. Now, you might say to yourself, what do you mean in the course of time? Well, back then, it didn't matter which order you were in if you were a priest, whether you were Franciscan or whether you were Augustinian or Benedictine, it didn't much matter. What they basically read were the church fathers, people like Augustine and Ambrose, not necessarily the Bible. Luther started reading the Bible. And what he was reading, in certain ways, didn't square up with what he had been taught in his theological education. And so he wrote these 95 theses. One of the passages that he had question about, someone took my bulletin. I took my bulletin. It's over there. One of the passages that Luther came across was this passage from Romans chapter 3, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." And at the end of that passage, Paul wrote, and Luther saw, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law." And Luther looked at how the church in Europe, that would be the Roman Catholic Church at the time, how it presented salvation to people. And the church was presenting salvation to people as something that wasn't free, that wasn't simply by grace through faith. They had to do stuff. They had to do stuff. They had to say certain prayers. They had to go to confession. And in Luther's day, the big thing was They needed to buy indulgences. Indulgences, supposedly, were controlled by the Pope out of something called the Treasury of Merit. And supposedly in this Treasury of Merit, the Pope had an inexhaustible supply of indulgences, which if people bought them, they could shorten their time in purgatory or the time of a loved one spent in purgatory. And Luther saw that, saw this man named John Tetzel running through Germany, getting money from these impoverished poor farmers and townspeople. And they stopped coming to church, some of them. And the priest would say, well, where have you been? And they would hold up their indulgences. We have indulgences. We've bought indulgences. We're good to go. Luther saw that the Bible said otherwise. Now, he didn't intend to start a great movement. He just wanted, he looked at these things and he was legitimately concerned. The church is saying this, the Bible is saying this. And then somebody, we don't know who, got a hold of the Latin version of the 95 Theses, translated them into German, took them to Johannes Gutenberg, who had just a few years before invented the printing press, and they disseminated them throughout Wittenberg, and then throughout the province, and then throughout Germany, and then throughout the whole of Europe, and pretty soon, Europe is on fire with conversation about theology. Now, a few moments ago, I stated that what Luther did, and really what God did through Luther, let's give God the credit, is more consequential than even the discovery of North America and South America. Even though the world has so vastly changed because of the discovery of the New World, I put forward to you that not only has the world changed because of the discovery of the gospel, or the rediscovery of the gospel by Luther, but eternity is changed. Because this grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ has eternally changed who will populate heaven. Faith comes by hearing the word concerning Christ, that Jesus died on the cross in payment for everyone's sins, and that by faith in Jesus, faith which, by the way, God gives to us, by faith in Jesus Christ, people are granted forgiveness of their sins, entrance into heaven, the Holy Spirit to live within them, and God's help every day. But faith comes by hearing the word concerning Christ. And that had been lost, and now it had been found, and we are here today. Probably every one of us in one way or another because of the rediscovery of the gospel by God or with God's help by Martin Luther. Reformation then. Well, what about Reformation now? Luther's in heaven. He's long gone from the earth. There are still people in this world who need to hear the word concerning Christ. With God's help, our mission, our vision, is to make lifelong committed followers of Jesus here, there, and everywhere. Well, Brother Everywhere is here today. And I invite our friend Mark Geppert to come and share some of the things that are happening through Southeast Asia Prayer Center. And he told me he was going to more or less begin with a specific part of God's Word. We know it as the Lord's Prayer.
Amen. So we have Mark 1 and Mark 2 together, brother here and there and then brother everywhere all together. So the body is assembled, huh? Is that right?
Amen.
That's right. It's so good to be together. I appreciate every time I get an opportunity to fellowship here. I think it's the first time I've heard the bells. What a phenomenal, phenomenal ministry. Thank you so much. It's really beautiful. Something we lose with the electronics. Yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you a story about Cambodia. Many years ago, I was teaching in Phnom Penh, in the capital. And in that year, I was the international chaplain for something called Girls Brigade. Girls Brigade is a values curriculum for young women that was taught everywhere the UK was, everywhere the British went. They had Girls Brigade. It's kind of like a Girl Scout thing, but not quite. And so, through a series of circumstances, I ended up being the international chaplain for this group. So all the countries that had ever been under the crown have Girls Brigade, and I was the chaplain for all those girls, which was a nice title, no pay, and only lasted a year. But during that year, I was in Cambodia. So I said to our pastor, Sinai, who you've met, many of you have met Sinai, I said, Sinai, call the Minister of Education. I'd like to talk to him, and I'd like to put Girls Brigade in the schools. Sinai said, you know, he is one of 10 people that run this country. I'm not real sure if we just call him that he's going to have you come in. I said, oh, go ahead. Give it a go. You'll never know if you don't do it. So the next day we were meeting with the Minister of Education of the country of Cambodia. And I said, I'd like to do Girls Brigade. He said, that'd be great if we had schools. But our school curriculum actually is translated from Japan. We don't have our own Cambodian school curriculum, and we're a mess. We just had a civil war. The country's torn apart. Our schools are in ruin physically, the physical plants. And our teachers, Pol Pot, killed everybody with an education. So can you help us with our school system? And I said, well, I can, yes. But you have to give me Jesus. We have to be able to start the day with the Lord's Prayer, with a memory verse, and worship in the public schools. And if we do that, then we can have academic excellence. Can you give me Jesus? He said, well, we've tried everything else and it hasn't worked, so we might as well give Jesus a chance. You know, I love people who say that. I've tried everything else and it hasn't worked, and so I'd like to give Jesus a chance. That's all he's asking for. And he'll show himself strong in our lives if we just give him the opportunity. So I said, okay, you choose a place, you choose a school, we'll go to work there and see what we can do. And so he chose this Rongkor school. Now the Rongkor school has 8 cluster villages, 8 communes that feed into one school system. And it's country, it's very, very poor. Average income, $200 a year. Some of the people, farmers, are $75 a year. It's very, very poor. Minefields and killing fields, mass graves all over the place. A place of tremendous bloodshed during the Civil War. Yes, they have peace, but just a year before, neighbors were killing each other, some with the Khmer Rouge and some with the national forces. And so it was a pretty tense place, and education had been pretty much thrown out the window. So, yeah, so we went in there and began working with the Rongkor schools. The Lord's Prayer. These are Buddhist kids. They never heard of Lord's Prayer. They have no background of Christianity. They have no Christian witness. What is a Bible? Who is Jesus? Is he from the neighbor of the village? They have no intellectual background at all to comprehend Christian faith, Christianity, or the Lord's Prayer. Well, that never set me back before, so I said, well, what we'll do is we'll print it on a card in the Khmer language, make a nice card, and we'll give it to each student, and each day we'll recite it. So they're reciting something that they have absolutely no intellectual understanding of at all. They're just reciting words. These are the words. Our Father who is in heaven. Now, that's good news. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Cambodia as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. I think we put sin in there. And they started reciting this. Well, of course, they started asking questions. Who is our Father who is in heaven? What do you mean a Father in heaven? Oh, yeah. You don't know about Father? No. So we began to teach them. After 6 months, 4,000 children had given their lives to Jesus Christ. 175 teachers had given their lives to Jesus Christ and had been baptized. Buddhists who got one word, one prayer that oftentimes we rattle through without paying attention to it, but it is the Word of God. It's right from Matthew. It is the Word of God. The Word of God brings forth fruit. The parents said, hey, what's going on with our kids? What's this? We don't have one. They have one. We don't have one. Not good. We need one. Oh, okay. So instead of the little size, we made the big size. They printed it out, nice thing in the Cambodian language, and laminated them all, and every house then got the prayer that causes you to prosper. That's the way we said it. If you pray this prayer every day, you will prosper. How could I not say that? I live in the most prosperous nation in the history of the human race. And the thing that caused it to prosper was an entire four generations at the beginning of every day. They said, our Father who is in heaven. They weren't orphaned. They weren't fatherless as a nation. They knew who the Father was. And we prospered. So I felt perfectly comfortable to say, here, this will make you prosper. Instead of praying to your spirit house, instead of burning your incense, instead of talking to your deaf-mute Buddha, talk to God. Say this prayer. Forgive your neighbor. Come on. This was just the great Pol Pot civil war. Forgive. And go forward as a nation. Our school began to grow. We added classes, added courses, refurbished the curriculum and put Jesus in the center. We made some changes, let's say. Soon the school became number one in the nation. Science, math, information technology, reading. Number one in the nation. And the commune became number one in the nation. Among the rural communities for rice production, the absence of sickness, irrigation systems, innovative technologies, people saying, hey, you know what? We could do this way, and it would be easier to make more production. The government did a study on the economic development of the eight villages, saying, what has caused this? What is causing this? And they said, here, this is the prayer that causes you to prosper. We became famous. The prime minister heard about it. He sent the deputy prime minister, convened all the people, 4,000 students, all their families, all joined together, the teachers, even the monks were there, that all the politicos were there in this huge gathering. And they presented to us a Nation Builder Award. I received it on behalf of SEAPC. Thank you so much for your contributions and prayers. I received it on your behalf. And they asked me if I would like to speak, which is always dangerous. And so I said, sure. And so I laid out the vision. I believe that Jesus is raising up from the killing fields and the minefields a generation who are Christ-centered, biblically based, spirit-filled, and academically excellent as a testimony to his resurrection power, that from death can come life, and that he is going to raise up this generation to be a witness for his power locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Now, the translator insists, he only said what I said. I said to them, if you agree with this, stand up. He insists that that's all he said. When he finished translating it, Pastor Sinai, they jumped to their feet. More than 10,000 people leapt to their feet saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to get a politician's attention, you get 10,000 of his constituency to jump to their feet when you speak. He wants to know, who are you? And so General Key, who is the deputy prime minister, the number two in the nation, adopted the Gepperts to find out, who are we and what did we do? As a result of the testimony of that school, all of which was birthed through the scripture, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just the application of one living word from God into a totally Buddhist community had so transformed the place. So he said to me, what you have done in that community, can you do that in our whole province of Bate Minche? I said, you give me Jesus? You give me Jesus? Lord's Prayer, start the day, memory verse, Christian worship, make disciples, baptize believers, form churches. You give me Jesus in the public schools? We can do it. With Christ, we can do all things. But I am not deceived. I said, sir, I am not deceived. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Without Christ, there's nothing but failure, compromise, mediocrity at best. But with Christ, I can do all things. He said, it's not mine to give. Only Hun Sen, the prime minister, can give that permission. We are by constitution a Buddhist country. I said, true, true enough. But Article 45 of your constitution says every Cambodian can worship the God of their choice. He said, you know our constitution. I said, sure, and I wouldn't work in your country without knowing your constitution, of course. He said, well, let me ask. You understand I'm an authority. I said, I believe authority. I have no problem, sir. And if the answer is no, no hard feelings between us. We'll just continue in the village. No, but this is the only way we can do this. 2 days later, he called. He said, Hun Sen says this. Now, I did not hear the prime minister say it, but I'm told that he said this. You tell Mr. Mark that if he can do in the province what he did in the village, I will invite him to work in every province in Cambodia, the nation. I get Jesus, you get Jesus. So now, instead of 8 villages and 4,000 children, we have 488 villages and 130,000 children. And our dear Greta is coming to help. None of these campuses, 488 campuses, has a first aid kit. None of them know how to respond if a kid is choking, if a snake bite, if a, whatever. They have no knowledge of that at all. And so Greta has been invited to come and train a school nurse at each of the 488 facilities and establish a little, you know, first aid kit, a little school thing. So if a child is having difficulty, take care of the child there. But she's going to go way beyond that. You can be sure this girl is going to go way beyond that. I dropped into the office the other day. I was in for 2 days this month, and there she was. She had drawn a measure, you know, music, and she was teaching rhythm. And the four loud disciples that she has now, one of whom is the granddaughter of the founder of the Lao Democratic Republic. And she's teaching them how music works. I saw these packages had come. I said, what are these? These are the instruments that they've gotten. Greta is building a band. When she goes over, which in January, Pastor said, when she goes over in January, she's going to be doing medicine and music. Medical missions, medicine, music. Kind of can put something together with that. How is that so open? At Christmas time, Lord willing, 15,000 fourth graders, 15,000 fourth graders. I love fourth graders. It's a good thing. We have 15,000 of them. 15,000 fourth graders are going to receive a bilingual children's Bible produced by Every Home for Christ. And this bilingual children's Bible has on the top of the page the Khmer language, and the bottom of the page English, and then the picture that goes with the story. So we'll be teaching reading vocabulary. Imagine that, the Bible as a primer for education. Does it ring even a bell with some of us? The Bible, learning words from the Word of God? Fascinating concept, isn't it? It's what makes nations great, man. And I believe, I don't want to put a time, I'm an urgent thinker. The older I get, the more urgent thinker I am. But at Christmas time, we're doing outreaches with these Bibles. They start reading in them in December. I would say that probably before Khmer New Year's, which is April, we should have 15,000 converts and their families in the fourth grade. 490 first grade teachers in February and March, or fourth grade teachers in February and March, are going to be in teacher training seminars with my wife and me, where we're bringing in STEM education to give an integrated science curriculum for the development of fourth grade, so we can start teaching technologies at the lowest level, and they can grow up in a mind out of the Buddhist fatalism and poverty mentality and into productivity and sequence. Of course, my wife and I have done this before with teachers in Cambodia. Our first talk is about the ability to teach and who is the greatest teacher there ever was, and how he will give you, if you give yourself to him, he will give his gifts to you. I'm expecting 490 fourth grade teachers to receive Jesus Christ, start praying the prayer that causes you to prosper, and start discipling 15,000 fourth graders in the Word of God. Can you imagine 15,000 fourth graders? How many little yellow buses is that? It's happening. It's happening. An epiphany in our vision here in the body. Epiphany is involved. This is not something SCAPC is doing. This is something we as a community have had the privilege of being involved in. And now we've come to the point, we've prayed for it, given financially to it. Many of you are child sponsors. We've been involved now over several years with it. And now we're beginning to see the first fruits. Now we're seeing the multiplication of the first fruits, even to the point of sending the pastor's daughter to come and be part of the team. This is not something SCAPC is doing. This is something we are all a part of. On this Reformation Sunday, let's remember that the entire culture of Cambodia is going to be reformed. It's going to be taken from Buddhist fatalism, poverty mentality, Hindu caste system, hatred, killing fields, mine fields, bloodshed, civil war, and it's going to be reformed into a testimony of righteousness. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Cambodia as it is in heaven. Thank you so much for being a part of this, getting to know us. Thank you for receiving my son when he was here. It's a family thing. We got a son-daughter kind of exchange thing happen. This is crazy. But as we continue in worship, let's give glory to God in our hearts. Let's, as we sing the songs, as we participate in the table, as we pray that prayer, let's understand that this is the power of God to change nations. Thank you so much.
Making lifelong committed followers of Jesus everywhere. What about here and there? That's us. Here is on our property in our immediate neighborhood. There is Leon County. That's what we're responsible for. In the flesh. Reformation. Alternatively pronounced reformation. There are people in our community who need reformation, reformation. Now, we are grateful for the many government-run programs that help broken people. I mean, to reform something is virtually the same thing as remaking something, putting something back together, reforming it, right? There are lots of broken people, and I'll bet almost everybody in here knows one or more broken people. And we're grateful for government agencies and organizations that help broken people. But there are many, many people in our community who are not just broken in body, not just broken emotionally, but there are many, many people in our community who are broken spiritually. They don't know Jesus yet. And that's where you and I come in. Because the Reformation then, back in 1517 and the years following, and then on down through the decades and then the centuries, bring us to Reformation now. We're the ones who carry that word forward to the broken people. Scripture says, faith comes by hearing the word concerning Christ. When Jesus is shared with somebody, when the message that God wants to give somebody eternal life freely through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when that message is shared, the Holy Spirit is seeking to put faith in that person's life free of charge, and with that faith, they have the opportunity to receive the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins, adoption into God's family, a promise of eternity in heaven, and God's help every day, just like what we have. But the broken people don't show up here on Sunday morning. You do, and good for you. Praise God for you. We're the ones who have to go out to them. And here's the thing. We don't have to go looking for every broken person in the community. God will bring them to you. I encourage you and challenge you to pray every single morning a prayer that essentially says, Lord, help me to see who you bring to me today with whom you want me to share Jesus. And it's not hard. You know, you start with something like, let me ask you a question. You want to go to heaven? You make it conversational. You don't say, you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? You know, you make it, it's conversational. If there's a heaven, would you like to be there one day? Most people will say, well, I don't know if there is, but yeah, I guess that sounds good. And you're off and running. It's just conversation. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the conversation and seeks to place faith in the person's heart. Just pray, Lord, help me to see any doors that you open today. If he doesn't give you an open door that day, well, that's all right. That's God's business. But if he gives you an open door, don't be afraid. Trust the Holy Spirit. That's why he's in you, to give you the courage and to give you the words. You know what? There's power in the Word of God. What did Jesus say when he said to the disciples, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the greatest power, I believe, is the power of the Word of God that we can share with others, that gives new life forever. We can talk more about that and other things next Sunday. But friends, we're here and there. Mark's got a lot of everywhere covered, 75 countries. Our synod is in a lot of places as well. But be a part of the here and the there, and the there, and the everywhere too, by supporting. Wow, God is good. He has given us eternal life. And He wants us to bring this reformation to others. Amen?